my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Friends, welcome to episode 239 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast, and it is a Wrestling Under the Influence edition. Axe Allwort and I from Stride Pro Wrestling sit down and share a beer called Rowdy and Proud. It is made by Three Taverns Craft Brewing in Georgia, and so we have the beer and reminisce, share some memories of Rowdy Roddy Piper, our favorite moments and memories, but we also talk about the state of wrestling today, not just on the independent scene, but also in WWE and the bigger leagues, if you will. And Axe has a really interesting perspective. He's been in the business for many, many years now, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to him and get his insight, too, onto what's going on in the world of professional wrestling. We both grew up in basically the same era of wrestling, and I think we share a lot of the same points of view and have an affinity and an affection for Hot Rod Rowdy Roddy Piper, and that comes through. It really comes through in the analysis of Roddy and, you know, talking about this particular beer. Again, it is Wrestling Under the Influence, and we'll get to that in just a couple minutes. I want to remind everyone, though, to check out all of the podcast here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. We have Five Heart with Greg Mahochka, which covers Nebraska Cornhusker Athletics. Also, speaking of Greg, he has a show called Nerds United that Chad Smart is on this week. Chad talks about his experiences. He went to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup, of course, where the St. Louis Blues won for the very first time ever. So be sure to check that out. Chad also checks in on his experiences at the Star Wars part of Disney theme parks now. He lives out, of course, in Southern California and was able to go out there. They've recently opened the Star Wars Experience at Disneyland, and he was able to be out there for that as well. So check out that. And then check out, of course, Chad's show, Positive Cynicism. It drops every Tuesday here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Of course, there is a store. You can also shop in and get your Jittery Monkey swag, or you can also check out the My 1-2-3 Cents store over at ProWrestlingTees.com/My1-2-3 Cents. And, of course, I am also part of, and I know I'm saying of course a lot, someone sent me a message one time and said I say of course too many times. So I am catching it and I'm aware. So, but anyway, you can also check out CollarAndElbowBrand.com and use the promo code My1-2-3 Cents and save 10% on your orders. I also encourage you to check out StrideProWrestling.com. The next show coming up July 6th, Axe and I talk more about that, as well as he is getting a championship match against Red Daniels. And we'll talk more about that in this week's episode. And you can keep up to date with all of the rumblings going on with Stride Pro Wrestling. It's going to be a very interesting summer, to say the least. I'm looking forward to what all is going to be happening with Stride, so be sure to check that out. Our friends over in Cape Girardeau at Cape Championship Wrestling, IWA Productions, just north of Southern Illinois, or just north of us here in Carterville, Illinois, have many shows coming up in July and August as well. It's a hot time, literally and figuratively, for the wrestling scene here in Southern Illinois and beyond. Big show coming up at Rent One Park in Marion, home of the Southern Illinois Miners. That's coming up at the end of August. Excited for that event as well. So, again, thank you everyone for listening. All the dads out there, I hope you had a fantastic Father's Day. Thanks for listening, sharing, and letting others know about My 1-2-3 Cents. Also, I encourage you to check out the YouTube channel. My 1-2-3 Cents is on YouTube. Every Friday, a Go Figure Friday segment drops. And I'd like some feedback, what you want to see on further editions of Go Figure Friday and what you'd like to see content-wise. This week actually marks the end of my career in journalism at WSIL-TV and in TV in general. And next week's podcast is actually going to be a recap of some of the wrestling-related events that happened to me while I was on the news over the last 20-plus years. So I'm looking forward to putting that together as well. I was trying to think of an idea to tie my career in journalism with wrestling, and I was able to do that. So I will be putting that together for next week. There'll be clips from WWE and superstars that I've interviewed and others, all points in between, from the indie scene all the way up the food chain, so to speak. So be sure to check out next week's episode and let me know what you think of this week's episode or all the episodes here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. You can rate and review on your favorite listening device. But in the meantime, let's stay tuned for Axe Allward.
And they say, Rodney, how could you be so bad? And I say, you know, even at my worst, I'm best. And while my bodyguard is doing his job, and he's keeping Jimmy Snuka, the Superfly, away, legend of wrestling, in sneaks Hulk Hogan, like he's going to do something to me, huh? In sneaks Hulk Hogan in all his glory, but did you notice when he come in and he looked eye to eye, all of a sudden he stopped just for a moment, because he really wasn't sure whether he should come or not. I don't blame you. I am the legend killer. If you're drowning in a river, I'm the kind of guy that'll throw you a rope. I'll throw you both ends.
Hey everyone, this is Wrestling Under the Influence, and as promised in the intro, my guest this week is Axe Allward, who Stride Pro Wrestling fans know. Axe Allward is the very first Stride Pro Wrestling champion, and Axe, it is a pleasure to have you on the show. What's going on?
Well, thanks for having me, Kevin, but you forgot the most important thing. Not only am I the first Stride Heavyweight champion, I'm the greatest Stride Heavyweight Champion.
Whoa, okay. That could be argued, but the other big thing coming up with you, you may be the next Stride Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. You actually have a championship match against Red Daniels coming up on July 6th. It is Scars and Stripes going on in Carterville. And Axe, you know, I know many Stride fans are listening to this, but there are some new listeners as well that don't necessarily follow Stride all the time. But for the last couple of years, you've been a good guy, but most recently, you kind of turned your back on the fans and your tag team partner, Riser, at Battle Bowl. So what's going on with that?
Well, hold on. Now, I don't recall turning my back on anybody. The fans turned their back on me. I never asked for them to cheer for me in the first place. Just because I don't like Jay Willing and Beauregard and the DR Party doesn't mean I like them. I just don't like those guys. I didn't ask them to cheer for me. They just decided to cheer for me. I didn't ask Riser to knock my legs out from underneath of me and cost us the Battle Bowl title. He did that on his own. And when you do things like that, you got to pay the price. And he's going to find out. After I win this belt, I think I might even give that punk kid a title match.
Well, that's very kind of you, and you know, you actually, you guys won your first round matchup with your finishing move, the pile driver. Then you laid the pile driver on Riser as well. Axe, I know that you are, you know, at one point you were, your moniker, your nickname was the Old School Warrior. Whose pile driver do you kind of patent that after? Who do you look to for the pile driver? Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful, always comes to mind for me, but I know others credit Jerry Lawler or Terry Funk with the pile driver. Whose pile driver, who kind of influenced you to start using the pile driver?
You got it right first, Paul Orndorff.
Yeah.
He had the best one, except for me.
Yeah, you're very effective with it. You're absolutely very effective with it. And speaking of Paul Orndorff, we're going to talk about his one-time friend and many-time rival, Rowdy Roddy Piper, with this week's
Wrestling Under the Influence. And I thought of you immediately, Axe, when my wife took a recent trip to Atlanta and picked up some beer for me. And she actually found this on her own. It's called Rowdy and Proud, and it's by Three Taverns Craft Brewery out of Decatur, Georgia. And she knew all about Rowdy Roddy Piper and brought this back for this specific show. And I didn't think there was anyone better to do this than you, because I know your love of beer and I know your love of Rowdy Roddy Piper. So tell me what your thoughts are on Rowdy Roddy Piper, one of the all-time greats, by the way.
Well, Rowdy Roddy Piper is my favorite wrestler of all time.
Okay, I did not know that.
He was the reason that I wanted to be a wrestler, because he was always a bad guy. People might have cheered for him, but he never sucked their ass, and he always went out and fought dirty.
That's a great point too, because like you said, when he did turn good, or you know, when the fans started cheering for him, he never changed his demeanor. He never changed what he was doing. He just kind of focused on different people. And I almost see parallels with you and Hot Rod in that regard. So it makes sense that he is your all-time favorite, because I think he influenced a lot of people. And I was a Hulkamaniac growing up, but as I became an adult and looked at it in hindsight, I don't know that there would be Hulkamania or the boom of wrestling the way it was had there not been that perfect foil in Hot Rod. What do you think?
Oh, Roddy Piper made it. You gotta have the bad guy. Darth Vader, what would Star Wars have been without Darth Vader?
Right.
Nothing. They never would have got to the sequels. You gotta have the awesome bad guy to make people care about the good guy. And Roddy Piper was the best.
So you and I grew up, we're a few years apart in age, but I feel like we were probably watching wrestling around the same time, you know, that advent of WrestleMania, the war to settle the score, all that, with when Piper kicked Cyndi Lauper and hit Mr. Captain Lou with the record and you know, kicked Mr. T around and all that. What did you, I mean, were you, you were a young kid, obviously, at that point. Were you cheering the bad guy back then, too?
I always liked the bad guys.
Yeah.
My dad, he liked the bad guys, so I liked the bad guys, like the Road Warriors when they were bad guys. Well, I always liked the Road Warriors, no matter what, because they were kind of like Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
It's like people just cheered them, and they fight the other bad guys, but they didn't, like, just start, you know, slapping high fives and kissing babies. It's like they came out there and they just beat the crap out of everybody, just like they always did.
So when it comes to using those old school influences, because obviously wrestling has evolved a lot through the years, and you know what we're seeing now with WWE, I guess at least it's more, you know, they call it sports entertainment. You obviously though kind of still embrace those old days with the chain, with the demeanor, the entire total package, the wardrobe. So besides Rowdy Roddy Piper, who else in Paul Orndorff's pile driver, who else kind of influenced you or did you look up to in addition to Piper, Orndorff, and the Road Warriors?
Oh, Harley Race.
Mm-hmm.
The Fabulous Freebirds. Midnight. Everybody back then was good.
Yeah.
When I look back on it, like the lowest, not the lowest, almost everybody was better than the guys they got now. It's not the guys now's fault, because they are not given a chance to be good. I mean, it's almost like they put them in a spot to where they can't be good, because they can't have a character. Like Macho Man Randy Savage. Macho Man Randy Savage, it doesn't matter how good he was in the ring. If he started wrestling today, I probably wouldn't like him, because the same reason I don't like any of the guys now. Because somebody writes out every word that they're going to say, and somebody tells them every move they're going to do in the ring, and they say, this is your character, go do it.
It definitely has become way too produced. It's overproduced. I think that's kind of the beauty of the indie scene still, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when you go to, and you wrestle obviously more than just in Stride, and you have wrestled for many years now, you can go and be Axe Allward, and you can go in there and kick ass, and you can pretty much say and do what you want. You know, nobody is, or at least in Stride, nobody's being handed a script and told what to say. So do you find that there's obviously that freedom and that leeway to kind of be yourself or be, you know, Axe Allward in the ring and be that ultimate ass kicker?
Well, that's how you have to be in this. That's how you get booked, because the other places don't have TV. They don't have writers. They have to find people that are already good at what they do. So they have to see that you do this other places, and they're like, well, we need you, or we need Keith Hatton, or we need Brent Daniels, or we need something. Whatever you are, that's what they want. That's how wrestling used to be.
Yeah.
When wrestling was good, because it was Devon Erichs ran Texas. And they're like, well, we need some big monsters for the boys to fight. Well, out in the Carolinas, they got the one-man gang. And over there, they got the Great Kabuki. And they got Killer Khan. But we'll bring them in and rotate them in. We'll bring in the Missing Link. They didn't make these guys. They were already, that's who they were.
Yeah.
They're like, they're awesome. Go get them. And that's how wrestling should be. Let guys be who they are so they can build up a name. And then you bring them in and say, this is who it is. Just like any other sport, like football. You don't see Brett Favre when he was a young guy playing quarterback and go, man, he's a great football player. And then you bring him onto your team and say, well, we're going to teach you to play linebacker because that's what we want you to do.
Yeah.
Because that's not how sports work. You get a guy, just like you wouldn't take Lawrence Taylor and make him be a quarterback. Because, well, you're really good at this, you'll probably be good at that. It's like, that's what he is. He's a linebacker. You've got to let a wrestler be what he is. This is what you are. Rowdy Roddy Piper was Rowdy Roddy Piper. He couldn't have been a gladiator. He couldn't have been whatever. He couldn't have been a Bray Wyatt, whatever he's supposed to be. He was Rowdy Roddy Piper. Macho Man was Macho Man. The Road Warriors were the Road Warriors. It's like, you got to let people be who they are. That's who they really were.
So, as a fan, you know, and if Axe Allward were wrestling in the 80s, what territory, who would you have liked to, you know, you mentioned the Von Erichs. Obviously, Hulk Hogan was the big deal in WWF at the time. You know, you had Magnum TA and Sting and those guys in the NWA. Where would Axe Allward have gone and kicked a little ass, do you think?
Texas.
Yeah.
I think Texas would have been where I would have fit in the best.
I could see that.
Because WWF back then, I loved all those guys, but when, like, Rowdy Piper and Macho Man are considered small.
You're right.
It's like, they're big. I'm a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
For average, for, like, walking around the street.
Yeah.
People would be like, man, you're pretty big. But, you know, 5'10 and 220 pounds isn't huge for when, like, everybody that's fighting Hulk Hogan's 6'7 and 400 pounds.
Yeah.
And that's who they wanted. They wanted the monster. So it's like, I just would have went in there and I never would have got to fight Hulk Hogan because they never would have gave me a chance to fight him because they were like, well, you're too small. But in Texas, they just had all different shapes and sizes and everything there, and everybody got a shot at their champion.
Absolutely.
So that's where it would have fit.
I think you're totally right on that. Now, you know, the interesting thing about Roddy Piper, and I want to get your perspective on, why do you think he worked as Hogan's, to me, he's top three of Hogan's all-time rivals. Why do you think he worked, though? Because he was not, you know, a King Kong Bundy or a Big John Studd. He wasn't the Undertaker or Andre the Giant. You know, he didn't tower over Hogan. He was smaller than Hogan. He was that chicken shit coward heel, though, that I think the fans, once Hogan did get his hands on him, loved seeing him get torn to pieces. Is that what worked for the Hogan-Piper dynamic, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Because when you got a guy like Hulk Hogan, that's a monster. Mm-hmm. Honestly, he was a monster. He was a good guy, but he was a monster.
Right.
Because you see him, you're like, he's bigger than anybody you've ever seen. So for people to really like him, you needed one of three types of heels. You had to have the King Kong Bundy one-man gang type that were just big bullies that were so ridiculously big that you almost couldn't believe it. You'd see him and you're like, my God, this guy's so big, nobody could handle him. But Hulk Hogan might be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Hogan was smaller, they're like, yeah, but Hogan's so strong, he might be able to body slam him. And that's what people come out to see. They're like, I bet Hogan might be able to do it. He might be able to slam this 500-pound guy. Or you had to have the foreigner, like Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, guys that people hated that came out and said that your country's garbage, and you just want to see them get their ass beat.
Yeah.
And you need a big, strong guy like Hulk Hogan, just like Rowdy Piper. Rowdy Piper hitting guys in the head with coconuts, always escaping, never really getting his comeuppance, always running his mouth, and people are like, man, I wish just somebody would shut his mouth for him. And then here comes Hulk Hogan, 301 pounds from Venice Beach, California, the largest arms in the world. Oh, man, Roddy Piper's going to get it now. But he never did. Piper always got away. And that's why people kept paying to see it, because they're like, but Hogan will get him next time. Piper got away this time, and next time Hogan will get him. But he never did.
Yeah,
he never got him.
Yeah, that was the other thing about Hot Rod that I loved is, you know, in hindsight, is that he did always manage to get away, not just from Hogan, but everybody. My very first live experience was in December of 84, and Roddy Piper wrestled Junkyard Dog that night. And, you know, it was the same thing. He ended up, you know, getting counted out or, you know, disqualified, whatever it was, and then came back later and interfered in Bob Orton and Jimmy Snuka's match. And, you know, that, of course, was just kind of leading us down the road to WrestleMania. But so many great memories. And by the way, we are going to talk about this beer, and I'm going to actually pop mine open right now. Again, it's called Rowdy and Proud. And you actually drank this already. Is that right?
Oh, yeah, I drank both mine.
Okay. So tell me, because on the can, and tell me, first of all, what kind of beer drinker are you? Do you like anything, or do you stay away from craft beers? What are your typical go-tos when it comes to drinking beer?
Budweiser is my go-to beer. That's mm-hmm. usually what I drink. But I like dark beer. I'll drink that sometimes. Pretty much what I won't drink is I won't drink any kind of light beer. I don't like any of that.
Well, I'm guessing you liked it because you drank. I gave you two because I thought if you like it, you'll have an extra one to drink. So.
Oh, I like them. Strong. I like strong beers. Anything mm-hmm. that's a strong beer, I like it.
This is definitely strong. Again, it is by Three Taverns Craft Brewery there in Georgia. And it's got 6% alcohol by volume. Tell me what you liked about this beer in particular. How would you – because it says on the can it is an IPA, and it's got Huel Melon. I'm trying to read this without my glasses. Mesic and Amarillo. It's got a little bit of a kick to it and a little bit of spice to it. So obviously, though, you said you liked it. Did it remind you of Rowdy Piper? Kind of that bold, you know, it says Rowdy and Proud on it. So,
well, when I looked at it, that's the first thing I thought of, because it's like RP real big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's like I wouldn't even think about the Rowdy and Proud. I just think RP, you know, that's what you used to call it.
Yep.
Roddy Piper, I'm like, and it was. I'm sure not every. It's not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
Right.
Not everybody likes Budweiser. Not everybody. I like strong beers. When I'm drinking a beer, I want this to taste like a beer. I want it to have a lot of calories in it. I want it to have a bite to it. I don't want it to be kind of sweet. I don't like none of that crap. I like it strong.
Yeah, and it definitely is got some strength to it, some kick to it. It's got the low bitterness, though, is balanced out because it does have melon, cantaloupe, and honeydew with a hint of strawberry and citrus undertones, which you really, I mean, it doesn't, like, I've had fruity beers before, but this is, you know, because I would not picture Axe Allwirt drinking a fruity beer by any means, but
no.
This one is definitely, I think it's hidden very well, and it's not, you know, a lot of times with some of these IPAs, you get them and they are very bitter, but this is not the case, I don't think.
Oh, no, it wasn't bitter. It's just got a bite. There's never been something even bitter than having a bite.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I could see Roddy Piper after a night of kicking ass sitting down and popping open a couple of these and drinking them down for sure. Tell me about Do you have a particular, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot, is there a particular memory or moment, Piper's Pit, a match, something that stands out to you that is your kind of go-to memory and thought on Hot Rod?
I'm not going to say it's my go-to memory, but the one thing that I just, as a kid, was, because I didn't get to watch it all the time. I didn't have satellite and stuff like that, but I knew Roddy Piper was a bad guy.
Right.
And a Saturday night's main event was on, and I'd missed the part where Adrian Adonis and them had beat him up and hurt his leg and stole his. So the Iron Sheik's out in the ring, and Pedro Morales is in the ring. And apparently Pedro Morales was taking Roddy Piper's spot in the match because Roddy Piper was hurt. And here comes Roddy Piper on his crutch. Roddy Piper crutches down to the ring. He tells Pedro Morales, get the hell out of the ring. Pedro's like, but you're hurt, I can't. Roddy Piper brings that crutch back. Pedro's like, okay. He gets out of the ring. Before the bell rings, Roddy Piper whips across the ring, breaks the crutch across the Iron Sheik's back. Starts beating the shit out of him.
Yep.
And I'm like, that's Roddy Piper. It's like, because he's like, he's not going to let him say, you have to be a good guy now.
Right.
He's like, because he knew he was smart. He knows that it's like, people are going to like you. Because it doesn't matter. It's like, everybody hates Iron Sheik.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Iron Sheik tells everybody that America's crap and he's better than all of us. So you don't give a, you don't care that Roddy Piper cheated by hitting him. You just want to see him get hit with a crutch. And you're like, yeah! We don't care that if Roddy Piper was hitting the Junkyard Dog with his crutch, you'd be booing.
Right.
Because you like the Junkyard Dog.
Right.
But when, anything you do to somebody that somebody hates bad enough, you're going to cheer for him.
That's a great point. And my, one of my favorite memories, that same era, it was right after the attack, right after Orton and Don Morocco and Adrian Adonis attacked him and hurt his leg. He comes hobbling out again on that crutch, and he's got a baseball bat in his hand. And I remember having this on VHS, like I had recorded it off of Superstars, and went back and watched it repeatedly, because he goes on this tirade and he takes that baseball bat and he just beats the shit out of the flower shop and destroys it. And then he takes the bat and kind of slams it down, and the bat then splint. It's a wooden baseball bat and it splinters. And
it's going to take a hell of a lot more. It's going to take a hell of a lot more than that. If they want to keep me down, man. If they think that those sons of bitches can keep me down like this, they're wrong. Goodbye, flower shop. Goodbye. It's gonna take.
Just so many great memories, and I kind of wish he would have stayed around and not retired. But I almost think then, in hindsight, when he was there for a bit and then he left and then he came back, and he was more of an attraction, and I think we as fans were able to appreciate and embrace him a little bit more than when he did come back. It meant more when he was there, instead of had he stayed, maybe he would have become stale. Maybe we would have turned on him like we did Hulk Hogan and get bored with that. Do you think that comes into play with some of these guys? Is it good to take that break and go away for a bit?
Well, it's hindsight. It's hard to say. Because with me, Roddy Piper was so hot right then.
Mm-hmm.
That, in my opinion, if he would have stayed around, possibly, I don't know this for sure, but he was so popular. What happened after WrestleMania 3? A year after WrestleMania 3, Hogan goes to make a movie.
Yeah.
And they have to have a new babyface be champion while Hogan's gone.
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Roddy Piper stays around as hot as he is. Maybe they don't do the thing where Macho Man and Hogan team up, because they don't have to make a new guy that's real popular. Roddy Piper's already popular.
Yeah.
so they can just do something else to phase Hogan out. Roddy Piper wins the tournament, and now Roddy Piper's the champion. And then Hogan comes back and fights Roddy Piper at WrestleMania 5.
You know, yeah, I'm, you know, obviously people listening to this know this. You know it, too. We've been friends long enough. I'm a huge wrestling nerd, and I do these what-if scenarios. And some, you know, when I had time to write more, I was doing it in that form. I haven't had this conversation or this discussion with anyone, but I thought that exact same scenario. What if the WrestleMania 3 match wasn't Piper's swan song, his retirement? He sticks around. Because really, the whole thing with Adrian Adonis started in September of 86. He's gone by March of 87. So roughly 6 months as a babyface, and then he's gone. Had he stayed, I can't imagine the, you know, and then, you know, like you said, Ricky Steamboat ends up leaving or, you know, losing the Intercontinental title. Yep. and kind of gets flushed away. To me, Piper would have been, you know, he was already self-made, you know, and that's, and I hate to think that because I loved the Macho Man then and what happened with him and, you know, his, you know, life-changing babyface turn and winning the championship and all that. I just feel like Piper would have probably been the one to get the nod in that instance over over Macho Man. It just would have made sense. And then again, you get to that WrestleMania 5 match with Hogan and Piper. We never got the one-on-one at WrestleMania. It would have been huge.
What if, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The only thing is, from all the books I've read, the only reason it maybe wouldn't have happened would have been political, not money-wise, because Piper said that Vince was not really understanding of his point because the other guys moved out to the East Coast, his top guys, and he stayed out in Oregon and kept his family out in Oregon and didn't like doing business. And Vince didn't like that. He knew he was a big draw, but the only thing is Vince maybe wouldn't have put the belt on him because he knew that Piper wouldn't do – he wouldn't let people pin him.
Yeah.
So if Piper was the champion and Piper wouldn't let people pin him, well, then what's he going to do?
Yeah. The only time I ever remember him getting pinned was at WrestleMania 8 when he wrestled Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title. I can't think of any instances in WWF or WWE until he came back and was, you know, obviously much older and was there to kind of help the younger guys. And I don't think he lost a whole lot during his I'm trying to hide my burp, and then I'm like, we're talking about beer, it's okay to belch on the air. So I don't remember him losing much in WCW either, though.
He did his next round. I remember I've seen matches that weren't really for TV. They were taped, but they weren't supposed to go out.
Oh, okay.
They didn't, but they got released later. He got pinned by Ric Flair.
Okay.
He got pinned by Ted DiBiase, but they would be at house shows.
Yeah.
Because also in his book, Roddy Piper always stated, "I never got pinned." But also in there, he said, if it didn't happen on television, it didn't happen. And they're far apart. You got to read between the lines when you're dealing with people that it's like, he's not lying.
Right.
Because if it didn't happen on television, it didn't happen, because that was before the internet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Roddy Piper got pinned by Ric Flair at Madison Square Garden. Well, only, I mean, that's 20,000 people, but we're talking about probably 100 million people watch wrestling. Maybe not 100 million, but over 20 million people watch wrestling.
Right.
So 20,000 people saw Roddy Piper get pinned, and they thought they were the only people that probably ever saw it.
Yeah.
We're the only people that ever saw Roddy Piper get pinned, because he never gets pinned. But then he might travel 1,000 miles somewhere else and get pinned by Ric Flair again. And those people think, this is the only time he's ever been pinned, and we saw it.
And now that you bring that up, I remember the first house show I went to at the Show Me Center in Cape Girardeau, I was in college at the time. The main event was Piper versus Flair, and Flair put his feet on the ropes and got the pin. So yeah, I had forgotten all about that until you brought up Flair. So, he was just one of those guys, definitely one of the best on the mic. Obviously Piper's Pit. And then, you know, he had the skills. He definitely had the skills in the ring and could back it up. Did you think, though, you know, being a wrestler yourself, could you kind of see his point of view when he didn't want to put certain guys over, or if he, you know, kind of, you know, because I feel like he really kind of lived that gimmick. Like he Rowdy Piper, you know, Roderick George Toombs was Rowdy Roddy Piper, and you know they were one and the same. Do you get that? Do you think that as well?
Not really. From what I've seen, but let me say.
Sure.
I've never done business the way he does.
Right.
But here's the thing. I've never been in his position.
Mm-hmm.
His whole livelihood has always been professional wrestling.
Yeah.
He had a wife and four kids, and they were used to a certain standard of living. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And his viewpoint was, if I let Hogan pin me, I'm getting shuffled to the back burner. And I might not get my main event matches anymore because Hogan's beat me, they don't need me anymore. But as long as I refuse to lose to him, I can keep coming back for rematches and just stay on top with other guys. Which I can't say that was 100% right, but it worked for him.
Right. Yeah.
It's like not everybody can pull that off. You got to be pretty awesome to tell people that you're not going to lose to Hulk Hogan, and they keep you.
Right, because this is, you know, keep in mind too, this is the almost the infancy and then the very first big wave of Hulkamania. And you've got the arch nemesis in there saying, I'm not going to lay down for this guy. But Hogan still looked great, you know, and, yeah. And Piper still, it's possible. You don't have to do this 50-50 booking that we're seeing a lot of now on the main scene. You know, you can have two guys go in there and still look strong, making each other look like the hero or, you know, the villain in this case with Hot Rod. But yeah, it definitely can work. And again, I credit to Piper's drive, determination, bullheadedness, stubbornness, whatever you attribute it to. He definitely was the man and was able to get in there and get it done.
Oh yeah, he was awesome. His psychology was great. Just everything, because he was the bad guy. Like I've told friends that I've worked with, they don't really understand wrestling. Mm-hmm. They'll be like, well, you know, they'll be like, why are you a bad guy for us? Like, you're a pretty nice guy. And I'm like, well, here's the thing you have to understand about wrestling, or maybe just anything, just in general. I said, people don't know me. I said, you know me. You're around me all the time. So you know me. We talk to each other. We work together. We know each other. So you're viewing me as a person, an individual person. When I walk out in front of hundreds of people to wrestle, they don't know me. They've never talked to me. They know nothing about my life other than I'm a wrestler. So all they do is they look at me. And just naturally the way I move, the way I look, they think I'm mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't try to convince them that I'm not. So they just don't like me. But I told them, I said, here's the thing. You can ask people, I'll walk into a bar, and there'll be people sitting at the bar, and they don't mess with me because I don't mess with them. And I look pretty tough. I'm not saying I am tough, but I look pretty tough.
Right.
And they'll sit there, and they'll probably be like, man, look at that guy. I bet he's an asshole. And they will automatically just have an instant dislike for me. Even though I haven't done anything, and I just walk in a bar. But now, I'm the same guy walking in the same bar. This guy that's sitting there talking to his buddy, he thinks his wife's been messing around with this guy. But he's scared to say anything to him. But that guy's in the bar too. Now I walk in the bar, mean, ugly looking guy. I walk right up to that guy that he thinks is messing with his wife and punch him right in the face and smash his face in the bar. And now he's going, I love that guy. But I'm the same guy. And now I actually did something that in theory should make people not like me.
Right.
But because I did something to a guy that he wishes he could have did it to, now I'm the greatest guy ever. That's how Roddy Piper was.
Yeah.
Because people hated him because he was what he was until he was beating up the Iron Sheik, beating up Adrian Adonis, but he was still the same guy. But everybody else wishes they could whip the Iron Sheik. They wish they could have whipped Adrian Adonis, but they couldn't. But Roddy Piper could. So now they love him, even though he's still a bastard. Because he's doing what they wish they could do, and they know he can do it.
I mean, that's the heart of it, is to let the fans, allow the fans to almost have that vicarious experience. I think that's what made Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin, so popular. He was in there. He was the everyman who is in there beating his boss's ass on a weekly basis. I mean, who doesn't want to Stone Cold stun their boss and flip him the bird and then drink a beer over his body as he's laying there in a heap of his broken self, right?
He was cool. I gotta give him that.
So obviously, Roddy Piper was the predecessor to a lot of the guys that we see today, obviously influencing Axe Allwirt and many more on the independent scene and beyond. Axe, as we kind of wrap things up, any other final thoughts on Rowdy and Proud or Roddy Piper himself? I'll give you the last word here as you prepare for your big championship match too against Red Daniels, who better be ready, because you are, as you said, you're a mean, tough guy for sure.
Oh yeah, Roddy Piper, favorite wrestler ever. Rowdy and Proud. If you like strong beer, try it out. You better like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. Well, Axe, thank you so much for taking some time. I know, and one of these days we'll actually sit down and drink some beer together and not have it as a recorded session. But I do appreciate your time, and I look forward to you getting in there in the ring with Red Daniels coming up again on Saturday, July 6th.
Awesome. I'll see you then.
All righty, man. Thank you so much. Friends, thanks so much for tuning in and listening this week. Be sure to have a great week and subscribe to the podcast and the My123Cents YouTube channel.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.